not to talk about family when family's all that we got. Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you're gonna be with me for the last one. Hello and welcome to Too Fast, Too Forever. There's all kinds of family, we chose this one. This is episode 37, bonus episode, Los Bandoleros. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode is brought to you by the Board of Tourism for the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic has it all. You won't die here. Dominican Republic is the second largest and most diverse Caribbean country, situated just 2 hours south of Miami, less than 4 hours from New York, and 8 hours from most European cities. Known for their warm and hospitable people, Dominican Republic is a destination like no other, featuring astounding nature, intriguing history, and rich culture. As you might know, the Dominican's having a little bit of trouble right now.
Why don't you fill our listeners in case they don't know?
You know, people just go there and die.
Oh, yeah.
They gave us 2 free trips with all the booze we could drink at a resort of our choosing. They just beat out the Hard Rock just by a couple days. The Hard Rock was willing to give us as much liquor as we wanted to drink, but I figure we should support the whole island, right?
Well, yeah, I think so too. You know, it's important to have a sense of family, if it were, community, if it were, and really sort of encompass the whole thing, whether you're by yourself or with your crew or your family.
Or your fiancé and you both get sick at the same time.
Whatever happens, happens. So this is a little bonus episode. This is the first time, this might be the only time until years and years and years and years from now when we get to the Los Bandoleros minute in the Fast and Furious
minute. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
We'll come back to this.
We will.
But this is our one time here. I don't want to spoil too much. We're going to get into it later. But before we get there, this is not going to be a full episode. It's probably going to be as long as a full episode, but
maybe.
It's not going to be a full episode in that we're not going to do every segment, but we are first going to do our mailbag of sorts and all that sort of stuff. So, we do have a Patreon page, patreon.com/toofasttooforever, toofasttooforever.com. Added a new tier. I don't want to spoil the surprise.
Check it out, yeah.
But if you are an eccentric millionaire, we got you. Oh, who also loves us. An eccentric millionaire who loves us.
Who specifically loves Too Fast, Too Forever. Yeah.
The important thing. I'm going to get to the new Patreon news when we get to the mailbag, because I have emails in there. But just took a look at iTunes for us, which is the podcast on iTunes. No new reviews. However, I don't know if this is just like a new look. So, you know, on a grand scale, iTunes is going away. Have you heard this?
Yeah. They keep saying they're killing iTunes.
Which is not true.
Which is, that's what I was saying to Matt. Like, I didn't look up, like, what's actually happening, but, like, they can't just get rid of it. So, I don't know what's actually happening because I didn't care enough to look. I don't have any music in iTunes, but I'm imagining they can't just, like, tell everybody that all the music they bought is gone and stuff like that.
Right. So the sensational headline in this clickbait culture that we're in is that iTunes is dying, but they're really just splitting into 3 apps. They're doing Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, and Apple TV. And like that's sort of movies and TV and all that sort of stuff. So as Apple sort of continues to roll out these services like Apple Music, like Apple TV Plus, exactly. It doesn't matter. It's also iTunes is a bloated program.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's too big. Simplify it. So anyway, as they're doing all this, though, Apple's sort of tweaking the look of things, and now, and they might have always been there, but they're maybe just more prominent now. We don't have any new reviews. However, all 4 of the reviews that we have there, Wells, yours is still MIA, don't know what happened to yours.
Okay.
We'll find out if he wrote in, I don't know. All 4 of the reviews have, is this review helpful? 1 of 1 said yes, 1 of 1 said yes, 1 of 1 said yes, 2 of 2 said yes. So, not only do people love us, but our listeners find our reviews of our show helpful. So, shout out family. Thank you for reviewing us. Thank you for marking other reviews as helpful, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
If you review our show, we will read it on air. You can write whatever you want as long as it's a 5-star review.
You can write whatever you want and hopefully don't leave us a shitty review, but if you left us a shitty review, I would still tell Joey to read it.
We'd still read it, but we'd just be sad.
Yeah, be sad about it.
So we have an email address here on the show, family@cageclub.me. Again, this is sort of, you know, morphing into a thing that's sort of all over the place. We've been tweeting with Wes. We've been tweeting with Wells.
We're easy to get into contact
with.
We've had messages. Jake sends messages on the Facebook Messenger. It's usually, like, selectively, like, who you're going to... Joey gets all the emails. We've talked about this before. I usually respond to Messenger, and we both kind of respond to Twitter, although, like, the tweets and stuff come from Joey. But if you were to send a message there, I would see it and probably respond to it. So... yeah, if you want to talk to either of us, you have a way to do it.
The one request that I have, and this is only just to make the game at the end more fun, but if you're sending in a car picture for Joe to guess, email it to me, because that's the one place that he can't see it.
That's true.
So if you have car pictures that you want us to guess, send them to family@cageclub.me. Otherwise,
I might see it.
You know, I think we got one that Joe sort of averted his eyes quickly.
Yes.
Just make sure that if you're sending those in, send to the email, because he can't see that, and it sort of preserves the whole fun of the game. Because if he sees the car,
it's useless. Yeah, sorry.
Right.
But I saw somebody say, like, we're getting, here's a car picture, and I deleted the notification, so.
We got a bunch of different things going on in the emails. First up, I want to say, new $1 patron, friend of the show, Melissa Lynam, throwing her support over here from the Cage Club Network as a whole.
Awesome.
To Too Fast, Too Forever. Welcome, Melissa. Thank you, Melissa. That's number one. Also of note,
yes,
new patron Ben Milliman, who may have written an email or two today as well, which we'll get to.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben is now contributing a point, and this is very exciting for us, where he gets to control, he gets to choose a movie that we do as a pit stop.
Which is crazy.
Spoil.
Which is crazy to me, because, like, you get to pick a movie that we have to talk. That's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool, at least.
And we're putting it on the main feed. It's not like a Patreon exclusive. Everyone's going to get to hear it.
Just to let you guys know, this is a little secret that Joey and I have, is that we run a film club, and we always say we're open to suggestions, and we never listen to them. Not ever. So in this chance,
we will take that under consideration.
Yeah, we always say that, like, we'll try to do it, or, like, oh, that's a good idea, but, like, we don't actually listen. This we will actually do. It's a foolproof, like, you're not going to get, like, a, hey, we think, well, maybe let's try. No. If you pick the movie, and it fits, like, you know, within the realm of the things, then, yes, we'll do it.
Originally, we were going to do pit stops in between every movie. That was sort of when we're like, eventually, weekly, we'll go there, and we'll do it, and we'll just alternate everything. We're not going to do that. We're not doing that yet, at least. So, the only thing we said to Ben was that, have it be something that's sort of tangentially related in some way to the Fast and Furious universe. He picked a movie that I've seen that Joe has not seen.
I've not seen it, yeah.
We'll cover it. Well, I don't want to spoil it. We'll cover it either later this lap or very early next lap. Just me and Joe. Bonus episode. In an off week, not replacing an episode, extra thing. Ben, I think your choice is great. Thank you for choosing the movie.
We're not going to spoil it, but Joey told me what it was, and it's a good choice, so I'm down.
We have a little bit of veto power, but all we said is just, you know,
if you keep it within the realm of the and the Fastiverse is fucking huge. And it doesn't even need to be, like, a person from it. Like, if you have a car movie that you want to watch, anything. It's very fast and loose, right? Like, this is not rigid.
I mean, you know the kind of nonsense that Joe and I talk about, and if you want that specific
Lifetime
brand
movies.
Of whatever it
if
is...
you select Lifetime movies, I'll definitely make Joey watch Lifetime movies with me. Never get vetoed. Ever.
If there's a movie that you want, whether it's a Lifetime movie or a car movie or whatever, you can subscribe on Patreon, pledge on Patreon, pick a movie. Once a year now, Ben gets to pick a movie that he has us cover, so...
That's a cool... It's a cool tidbit. I like it.
One for one, so far, so good.
Yeah.
So thank you, Ben, again. Check out our Patreon at toofasttooforever.com. Go there. Also, another little thing I have just in my email that I wanted to make sure I kept an eye on. We have the YouTube channel, Too Fast, Too Forever. So here's some good and bad news. We've got a couple more subscribers. Thank you for subscribing.
Awesome.
The bad news is that I've heard from now two people that it's difficult to find our show on YouTube. And as far as I can tell, everything's set up properly. I think it's just because we're newer. We don't have that many views yet because
it's
people
don't
really
know
it's there.
It's easy for me to find it. It's weird. I mean, like, maybe because, like, I'd clicked the link before.
Maybe because you subscribe already. I don't know.
Because I subscribe already, something. So we're sorry about that.
But the thing is, if you want to find our channel on YouTube, if you go to cageclub.me and go to our show page, there's a YouTube link right there. And also on every episode page on cageclub.me, which we also link on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere you get that stuff, there's a link to the YouTube. So even if you never watch a video on YouTube, we would just appreciate it if you subscribe, only because once we get to 100 subscribers, we can have a custom URL.
And it'll be easier to find.
Have that
right?
Locked down.
That's the whole point.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you think it's hard to find, then find it and then subscribe so you can make it easier to find for other people that are trying to find it.
Do your family duty.
Please.
Do your familial duty. Subscribe on there, please, and thank you. And again, no pressure to ever watch a video on there. The fact that you're listening to this and that you went over there and did that, more than we could ask
for. Yes, thank you.
But please subscribe, ignore it, whatever you want to do. We just want to get toward 100. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, the first thing I want to do is that, you know, you had mentioned that we were talking to Jake Freer on Facebook.
We were.
He was messaging a bunch of back and forth.
Yes.
One thing that he wrote in was that he sent us his rankings for the movies.
He did, yes, he did. Jake and I had a good conversation. We were talking about, like, what hip-hop we like, a whole bunch of stuff.
Jake says, hey guys, just realized I never sent in my Fast and Furious order, so after hours and hours of thinking, I finally come up with a list.
Awesome.
He writes an answer for number one, but then he doesn't do anything else for the rest of them. So I'm just going to go from the bottom up.
Go ahead.
I know you probably saw this, but I read this, but I didn't remember because, you know, I had a lot of Fast and Furious in the brain. So number 8, the correct answer, number 8, Fate of the Furious.
Yes. which we agree with. He had some like very ones that we agree with and some hot takes too.
Number 7, Too Fast, Too Furious, which again might be a little low, but also every time we talk about that movie, I like that movie more and more, but I still don't like it more than a lot of the other movies. So I think
yeah,
that's not
really
crazy.
Yeah, it's not really
number...
jumping anything, right? It's weird.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And then number 6 is Fast and Furious number 4. So I think firmly the bottom three are the correct bottom three as far as you and I are concerned.
Yeah.
You know, you can like whatever you want to like, but I think those three are sort of the kind of sort of
the
consensus
low end. Yeah.
Low end. Not bad, again, just worse than the rest. Number 5, Fast and Furious 7, which I feel is, that's a little bit of a, that's a mild take, because I feel like that's a pretty...
Yeah.
Powerful one, right?
Yeah, because we lose Paul in that one, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number 4, Fast and Furious 6, which I think...
That's low.
...is your and my number 1.
Yeah, that's low. I like World's Longest Runway a lot. So, yeah, Jake had a hot take with that one. That's why I said, like, some of them, like, I saw 8 at the bottom. I was like, yeah, I'm with you. 5, we get, you know, Fast and Furious 6, World's Longest Runway. Like, holy shit, man. Okay.
Yep. Number 3, Tokyo Drift. He said could have easily... been number 2.
Yeah, I like Tokyo Drift a lot. You know that we're big fans over here.
Number 2, Fast 5, which means, if you're doing your math, number 1, The Fast and the Furious. He said it's where it all started, and when I was about 3, whew, my dad put it on for me, and apparently I watched 3 times straight, and after that I wouldn't go to sleep unless that was on in the background.
Such
I was about 6 when I actually remember watching it through, so nostalgia has it at number 1 for me. So Joe, we talk a lot about how you've seen the movies a bunch.
I'm crawling
my way up there. I feel like, based on this alone, Jake's view count of number 1 is probably in the hundreds, if not higher.
Yeah, he probably has
me. He literally grew up with it.
Yeah, if you do that, like, small kid tendency where you're just, like, you could just watch it on loop, essentially, right? Because you're just, like, a small child, so, yeah, I
mm-hmm.
get it.
Crazy. But thank you.
Yes, thank you for the rankings. You're going to be added into the aggregate. Factor you in when we do the re-rankings at the end of this lap.
So one thing that I'm going to do on our Patreon page, which I thought about, I just want to sort of figure out the best way to graphically do it, and then I'm going to sort of sprinkle it out over time, is that we have so many different charts and graphs and answers and rankings and all this different stuff, that every time we have a guest on, we ask them like 1,000 questions. I have all those answers written down. So what I'm going to start doing over on Patreon, which is going to be hidden unless you're a patron, is I'm going to visibly, you know, visually depict rankings in terms of, you know, average score. I'm going to say, you know, what percentage of people are a Dom
really cool.
versus a Brian.
Yeah, this is really
Mia
cool.
versus a Letty. All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot going on over at TooFastTooForever.com. Check that out. Okay, we have 5 emails. So we have a bunch of messages. 5 emails. First up, Ben Milliman, the man himself. Now, this was before... Here's a little bit of a peek behind the curtain.
Go ahead, because I don't know any of this, so tell me.
Before he subscribed, or before he pledged on Patreon, before he supported us over there... He sent us an email, and it made me laugh out loud, and I told you...
You did tell me this.
We got a really funny email.
Yeah, you said it was one of the funniest emails you've gotten in a while, whatever, whatever.
No shade to anybody else, but it made me laugh, and I said, I'm not going to tell you who it's from, but it's somebody who's emailed us before. And then he subscribed on Patreon, and I was just like, well, I can't be like, oh, this guy just did it, and then, like, sort of, it's sort of weird.
So, I know that he sent an email. That's it. That's all I know. I don't know the email.
So he says, from Ben Milliman, funny conversations is the subject line.
Okay.
Hi, I don't know if you guys remember me. Of course I do.
Yeah,
of course we do.
We do.
But I sent you an email, I think, in lap 2, which was last July, I think he emailed.
Okay.
A little recap, though, just in case. My past email was about doing the stare and drive on my girlfriend while go-karting, and I had the Dom cross hanging from my mirror.
I remembered it vividly that you sent this email, and
yeah,
you're my kind of people, so.
We knew he was family from the jump. He says, I've been trying to catch up on the podcast, which, again, we put out so much. It's
a lot of content, yeah.
It's a lot. I have about 4 or 5 more to go, and I was going to wait to start emailing until then, but something happened, and it couldn't wait.
Well, you're always welcome to email, even if it's not the right, like, if you're not caught up, we say this to everyone, if you're not caught up, you send the email in anyways, you'll eventually get to the part that you hear it, but yeah, you can send it at any point, it's not a big deal.
So my girlfriend Linny, which is, I don't think I've heard that name, but I really like that, L-I-N-N-I-E. Linny.
I like it, I like it too, yeah.
Our friends and I like to go hiking.
Okay.
We were going to go to a new trail today. One of our friend's phones got broken, so he doesn't have GPS or anything, so he followed me. When we left, I realized I kept getting too far ahead of him, so I put my car in eco mode, and this is the conversation that followed. Me, I forgot I have to put my car in eco whenever someone's following us because I always lose them. Linny, that's because you drive like, me, finishing her sentence,
the
like the
wind
blows.
Yeah.
But wait.
Okay.
Another conversation happened on the trail. I live in Alaska, which is very cool.
That's very cool.
So most of our trails have a lot of ups and downs to them, and sometimes this really kills my knees, which I'm sure you know where this is going. So this conversation happened on the way back. Me. When we're done with this, I'm going to have knees like Denise. Lenny laughs and turns at me looking confused and says, "What does that mean?" Me. I won't have any. He says, "I thought you guys might enjoy these little conversations as much as I did. I promise they actually happened. Keep up the good work."
Well, yeah, thank you. The drive like the wind blows, that's also a great nod to the thing and Wes for including it in all the descriptions. But yeah, now... That's really good. I like it. And then the no knees Denise thing cracks me up because it's like she would have no idea. Like it's such a tiny tidbit of six. Like it's so minuscule and meaningless. Like it only means something to us because we've talked about it so much.
What I love, you know, a lot of us, including you and I, and a lot of people I'm sure listen to this podcast, use quotes from the movies and everything.
So
life,
much.
You know,
I live so
my life, mile at a time, ride or die, all that different stuff.
Got nothing but time. We use nothing but time all the time.
Nothing but time.
Yeah.
I love that in some corners of the world now, nonsense from this show is now blending into the world of the Fast and the Furious. That no niece Denise, like, I'm sure there are probably people who like the movies who, like, that was an in-joke for, but, like, we had watched it, like, three times or whatever before we talked about it. Like, I feel like
yes.
For a lot of people, they either never thought about it or they, like, laughed at it or they never heard it or whatever.
You even could have missed it. It's a quick
yeah.
passing. So, like...
like, that and Driving Like the Wind Blows, if we do nothing else on this planet, the fact that those are now getting out there into the world... And Ben, you are doing the Lord's work in just, God bless your girlfriend for staying with you, even though, like, I'm sure she has no idea what you're talking about, but man, oh man, that's
it's
good.
It's a great relationship. It's something like Rachel and I have. Like, I just talk in nonsense to Rachel all the time. She just, like, just ignores me. It's great, though.
Shout out, Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. She's down.
Does Rachel listen? She doesn't listen, right?
No, not at all.
Next email, also from Ben. This was right after he pledged on Patreon.
Okay.
Subject line, finally caught up.
Oh, damn, so you caught up quick. What was the time difference between these two emails?
The time difference was 2 days. We did 4 or 5 episodes in 2 days.
Wow!
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So he sent the car picture in, which we will do later.
Okay.
Because we're going to... I think he did. Hold on. Let me actually see what these are. Oh, yeah, no, this is not... Okay, yeah, right. Okay. I'll show you this. We're not actually guessing the game. I can show these car pictures. Okay. Hey, guys, I finally caught up. I'm going to try and stay up to date with the episodes and sending emails. I have little stories and things that I could just go on about with these movies. Cool. Always happy to listen
go
to you.
For
always
it.
Happy to talk about them and be a part of. Welcome you weekly into our, or every episode into our little family.
Amen.
When Tokyo Drift came out, my older brother saw it before I did. And one day, while we were hanging out in high school, he randomly asked me what DK stood for. I thought he was nuts because it was such a weird question. I honestly answered Donkey Kong. He laughed at me and told me to watch Tokyo Drift. Now, every time I watch it, I get a good laugh at that part. I know this movie isn't a huge favorite, but I love it.
It's a favorite of ours. We love
exactly.
it.
Exactly. We love it.
Yeah.
I have to thank you guys for talking about Los Bandoleros because I never knew it existed. And when I found that, I got really excited there was something Fast and Furious related I had never seen. So I hope when we get to that part of this episode, we do it proud. We do you proud. We do it justice.
Yeah. Because we had never seen, I didn't see it till today, so go ahead.
He says, my only complaint about it was how short it was. I want to see more of that team together. Honestly, it might just be I want to see more of Han, which
also
we'll
true.
Get to that.
R.I.P.
Keep
Han.
Your mouth shut over there for now.
Yep.
He says, you guys don't have to guess what car this is, but I just thought you might think it's cool. This is a guy who lives up here in Alaska. I love that no matter where you go, you can find Fast fans. So he sent three pictures.
Let me see them. I didn't get them yet.
Yep.
Oh, it's Brian Skyline. It's Brian. Well, it looks kind of like it, right? Like I'm sure it's mm-hmm. modeled after it.
It's got like Tuner Empire on the windshield.
Sparco. Yeah, he has like a lot of the same Brian stickers from the first one too.
That's dedication. That's cool. That's a cool car.
It's very cool, and it's a GTR, so it is. It's an American Skyline. Yeah, it's definitely an ode to Brian.
So now, Joe, you're gonna like this next part. Also, I know a lot of guests on the podcast pick American Muscle, but I have to go with imports.
Ooh. I like it.
I love and respect muscle cars for what they are and would never turn down owning one, but I always find myself going for imports.
They're more fun. It's practicality, more fun to drive. Like, yeah, I think so. I agree. Jake just sent us a message on Facebook, and he said the same thing, and I'm just like, they're modern, right? You get, like, all the convenient. You get CarPlay. You get, like, all this wacky fun stuff, right?
So here's what I'm thinking. This might be a weird kind of... It might not be true, but here's kind of a... Not a divide, but, like... The people I'm finding to be guests on the show are people who are sort of fans of, I guess, more movies, I think.
Yes.
And people that I know, I don't really know a lot of car guys, really. And
yeah,
I feel like the people
fair.
Who listen to the show are more into the movies because of the cars. So I would guess, this might not be right, this might not
might
carry
not be
through
true.
Correctly.
We don't know yet, yeah.
But if I had to guess, I would guess that maybe listeners are more into imports because of the whole car element of it. Like, from afar, I think American Muscle looks cooler, but then once you actually know what's under the hood,
yes,
it's a different story.
Maybe. That's a good point. I didn't think about that, but you're probably right. And like, there's a lot more tuners in these movies than there are muscle cars. So if you're, mm-hmm. like, a fan of these movies, you'd probably be a fan of tuners, right?
Yeah. Ben says, I love the Fast and the Furious minute. Whenever you play the audio, I can picture what's happening in the movie.
That's cool.
That's the point. Yeah, that's,
a lot of us have seen it a lot of times. Yeah, as soon as you hear the music, you could just I can close my eyes and see it too.
That's it for this email. I can't wait for the next episode. Well, Ben, thank you for writing in those couple emails. Thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon.
Thank you. Yeah.
Glad that you like what we're doing.
Hope you get your stickers soon. You're going to get your stickers, right?
Yeah, they are they're literally on the way. They got shipped out today. So however long it takes to get from New Jersey to Alaska,
HQ.
A week maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
I had to Google, do you need extra postage to go to Alaska?
I don't think
says,
so, right?
It used to. A long time ago, apparently you used to. And then they switched it and you don't. But it's apparently if you ship a package, bonkers expensive.
Okay. Well, this was just some stickers.
A letter, first class letter or whatever, just a regular stamp.
Cool.
Next email from Wells Lamont. Subject line, I ain't no 10-second bitch.
like Missy Elliott, like you're not like a 1-minute man? No?
Yeah, I guess so.
No 10-second bitch.
Starts out, shout out to Joey L. He reads a hell of an email.
Thank you.
He gets it.
Yay, it's all him. Man, I'm not reading. He's reading them out loud. He's doing good. I agree.
He says, so I'm all caught up on the episodes, and I'm not going to lie. I've doubled up on a few. Whew.
You've doubled up on a few? How? Why?
Just listening again. He says it's weird having to wait for new episodes like the rest of the peasants. And then he does the laughing, sweating, you know, nervously laughing emoji. He says, real quick, I don't think Vince necessarily beat up P. Walks in the first one, like Joe 2 had recently mentioned in a previous episode. Thought it was fairly even, or maybe Brian may have even gotten the upper hand. Maybe one day we'll Google the official WBO boxing rules and score it. I'm down to bet on it. If we do that, not money, something cool, we'll figure it out later. That's also something I learned from following Wells on Twitter. Dude loves to bet on sports, and I am into that. Like, I think
I'm into it too. I follow him now too, and I love that he's like, and I love that he just like claps back at like random sports
at
accounts.
Players, at teams, at
teams. Yeah, I love it. It's totally up my alley. I follow a lot of the sports guys. You know that I watch a lot of sports, so I'm about it. I'm not as big as an NBA fan as Wells is because I didn't grow up with an NBA team, so I never had one. I watch the finals and stuff like that. Yeah, it's comforting to know that he's a big sports guy too. So
my condolences to you on the Warriors' loss. Although I've not watched basketball, like I've never watched basketball where the Raptors were good. So this is all.
It was very weird. Yeah, it was very strange. We watched the finals. We were watching those games. I talked to Jake about it. A lot of my friends sports gamble. I can't because I'm a degenerate, and like I can't open that window for myself. Like if it became legal around me, I would probably bet a couple games a day. Even
it's legal
like
here.
Random baseball and shit. But don't you have to go mm-hmm. to the casino? You have to go to the casino, right?
No, you can do it on the app.
Oh, fuck, dude. That would be so dangerous for me.
So it's not legal in New York City, but it's legal in New Jersey, or not, maybe not New York State or whatever. So my friend, who's on Tub Talk, one of the hosts of Tub Talk, he bets, and he can't bet from work. He has to basically be at home to bet. So like,
yeah, because he's geolocated in New York. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
But yeah, so
that's
yeah, sports
cool.
betting, legal in casinos and, you know, horse parks and whatever, and then also horse tracks, and also DraftKings, FanDuel, all that sort of stuff.
Damn, that's awesome.
Wells says, so let me give you my spizzy spiel on In-N-Out. Ooh, more burger talk.
Okay, let's go.
If you did not listen to the last episode, the burger argument continued. Wes wrote an entire treatise, on burgers in Austin, which I added some commentary to.
Yes.
But it's the In-N-Out versus Whataburger, which I feel like have never been rivals until now.
They have been rivals. They're rivals, my friend. They're rivals against my, at least in my friend
circle.
Maybe
they're rivals in Austin, I guess, because that's sort of, you know, yeah. when In-N-Out moved in and people lost their mind.
In our friend circle, In-N-Out versus Whataburger is big.
I'm only going to touch on the fry thing because I'm on the minority on this one. Most people don't like them. Talk about In-N-Out's fries.
We talked about this, yeah.
If you go through the drive-thru, there's a huge window where you can see the workers grab a whole potato out of a basket, put it through the slicer,
Amen.
Drop it in the oil,
yep.
take it out of the fryer, put it in your fry boat, and place it gently in your bag. Or a box if you're eating in the car. They
yeah.
give you a couple options.
Yeah, they do.
They take care of you. That's
They're
you can't
fresh
get
fries.
Fresher than that. But if it's, you know, it maybe needs salt, maybe needs crispiness, I don't know.
Well done.
I took, this is, not, I guess it's a little bit of extracurricular, but I took a work trip to D.C., and that's on the way back at the train station in Union Station in D.C.
Shake Shack?
There's a food court. No, I got Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
And I've never had good Chick-fil-A fries, and this were finally good Chick-fil-A fries because they were the saltiest french fries I've ever eaten.
I always add salt to them. Just add salt to them, bro.
I know, but these were like, this was like, they were salted when they were hot. Like, it was like, it, like the salt was like adhered to it.
Mm. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Il Boche. Okay.
I love Chick-fil-A, too. Go ahead.
Quick In-N-Out story. Before we met each other, one of my good friends was with his homies at In-N-Out, and shit popped off, and these savage buff Bagwell kids from one of the richest parts of the Bay Area pulled up deep as hell and whooped them all for talking shit to their friend who was at In-N-Out. Woo.
Wow. How do you even fight in In-N-Out? How can you be angry there? I don't understand.
I don't know.
High school. I guess. I'm guessing.
Dude got on his phone and called all these yoked up rich kids, and 20 minutes later, they pulled up in big ass trucks. They were from Blackhawk. It's like a mini Beverly Hills.
Mm.
This was an 02.
Okay.
I heard this tale sometime after it happened while I was in high school. Fast forward to 2007, I become friends with this dude, and however long later, I pull up to In-N-Out in San Ramon, and he says, "Damn, I haven't been here since we got in that huge fight. I may have smoked a joint, but I put two and two together real quick, and my mind was blown."
It was him.
He was one of the kids from the mythical tale of a famous In-N-Out beatdown that I'd heard of 5 years before. He told me all about it, and it was a fucking adventure. They got beat up good, and he puts laughing emojis.
It's like the St. In-N-Out Day massacre or something. Like, yeah. What the fuck happened?
He says, "Now for the actual business. Beginning of the first one is definitely Dodger Stadium. I didn't know this until after I went to a Dodgers game, and I can see it's the stadium as in the background as he's creeping up 110 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I was in L.A. last year for work, and I was able to get a $6 ticket, and Kershaw was on the mound, which, whew,
damn.
That is a bargain to see Clayton Kershaw twirl his magic.
Yeah.
Now, although, I am all about, you know, I'm all about Walker Buehler now, so he's my main guy over in Dodger Town. Dodger dogs are completely overrated, by the way. Yeah, absolutely. They're just like, they're cheap.
What are
I
they?
Think they're cheap, but they're just, it's a hot dog. It's like a regular hot
How
dog.
How much are they?
I don't remember. I went to a Dodger game in 7 years ago.
Okay.
Anyway, random baseball stadium in the movie trivia. Angels in the Outfield was filmed at the Oakland Coliseum, where my A's play.
Ah.
And not right. In Anaheim, where the then California Angels played. I think they switched up the seats to red for the movie.
Ah.
He says, "I'm about to run through 1-8 this next week, so we will talk soon." So, Wells, enjoy those movies. Enjoy, if you go back to In-N-Out, enjoy that beatdown.
Yeah,
hopefully you don't get a beatdown.
Yeah, hopefully you don't get beatdown. What was that? That was a terrible recommendation.
Maybe enjoy the memory of the beatdown. How about that? Because, I mean, that's
he wasn't
crazy.
There,
like,
too, right?
To hear, no, because he hurt. To
exactly.
hear a story and then to become friends with someone who was part of that story. Like, that's crazy.
It is. That's like, my favorite kind of story. I went to a concert once when I was in high school. I went to Summer Jam by myself because, you know, I didn't really have any friends that wanted to go to Summer Jam with me. And then I was in college, and I was talking to this kid, and we were talking about it. I was like, "Oh, yeah, something, I went to Summer Jam." And he was like, "Me too." And then we realized that, like, we had met, like, our friend, like, some kid that I met in the stands. He was with them, but he was just really fucked up. And I was like, "Oh shit, you were standing like exactly where I was." And he was like, "Yeah." I was like, "You're that other kid." And he's like, "You're that other kid." And it was like a great revelation that we were like, we actually watched it in the same row next to each other and
That's
didn't
awesome.
Know that. Yeah.
Life is, you know, it's a small world sometimes, Joe.
It's a very fucking small world sometimes. Yeah.
So we have two more emails. I'm going to skip the next one now because it's the longest one. We're going to get back to Wes's last email, or the last email, that the most recent one that we got. The next email I'm going to read from Nick Burris, who's been messaging us on Facebook as well.
Cool. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. First of all, I've never got hijacked yet.
Thank God. Good job.
Thank God. But only delivering chicken and other food. I mean, you know, people steal anything.
Yeah, dude. People steal all kinds of shit. If you were delivering formula or Tide, I would be really scared because people steal that shit all the time.
And then kids eat Tide Pods.
And then kids eat, yeah, exactly, the forbidden fruit.
Nick's also got some thoughts about the burgers. He says, touch on the burger topic.
Wow, everybody, okay, burger talk it is. Let's
burger
go.
Talk it is. Too fast, too burger. I was able to try Whataburger when I was in orientation for a job in Texas. Not bad. Went with a different company and they're still in Texas. Tried In-N-Out. Definitely better than Whataburger, at least that one.
Amen. Thank you. Nick's on my side.
Savage.
In-N-Out is so much better. Thank you.
Savage.
And you know what? You know what's fucked about this conversation is that people are like Whataburger dependent. They're like, "Oh no, you can't go to the one on like the corner of 5th and 4th. Like, that one sucks. Go to the other." Every In-N-Out's good. Every single one is consistently good.
They're consistent. I don't know. I would say they're consistently good, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
That is actually crazy. Like, if you ever think about how there's McDonald's everywhere and the food all tastes the same, like, that's amazing
yes,
and also
it's
terrifying.
Scientifically mind-blowing to me. Like, as a scientist, I'm like, how the fuck does that happen? Like, it has to be, like, so rigid for it to all... And, like, in different countries, too. Like, if you eat McDonald's fries in Italy, they taste the exact same. You know,
yep.
Like, it's mm-hmm. frightening.
Well, they probably source the potatoes from the same, like, farms in Idaho.
I think it's way more voodoo magic than sourcing right. the same potatoes. I don't think they're shipping potatoes over. I think they use local potatoes, and, like,
okay.
it's all the bullshit that makes them taste the same.
Nick says, but now I love the Cookout. That's in North Carolina and Southern. Very good for a chain. Do you know the Cookout, Joe?
No. And I was in North Carolina, what, a year or two ago? But no, I don't know what the Cookout is.
So the Cookout is, it's like, there's just, it's burgers and hot dogs and stuff, and, like, you basically, I think, like, you kind of get, like, a whole tray of food. Like, it's like a
what
sort of
mean?
Southern style.
Like,
it's cheap. It's really
cheap.
You're
supposed to order a tray of food? Is that what you're saying?
I think you can, because, like, everything's, like, wildly cheap. But it's pretty good. Like, I had it once when I was driving back from somewhere.
Okay.
Oh, well, when I was driving back from Austin, when I moved back here, because I had my cat with me.
That's cool.
If it was around here, I would definitely go more, but yeah.
Okay. I'll have to check it out next time I'm there. Go ahead.
He says, one more note, P.F. Chang's is awesome, and if you like crab, try the crab wontons. They're so good.
They are good, and Rachel orders crab wontons everywhere.
Nick says, I'm also a fan of Meguiar's products, and I did notice a banner ad in a Too Fast, Too Furious on the stands at Barstow. So I guess this whole Meguiar's is like a through line, so we'll have to get to that when we get to the minute for Too Fast, Too Furious.
15 years.
In 15 years. He says, Tanya's mentioned about... remember we asked who Tanya was. He
yes.
says, Tanya's mentioned about 44 minutes to go in the movie right after the Rat Club scene. I'll have to get back to you on my rankings. It's hard when you like them all. True.
It's very hard for us, yeah.
Happy to hear John Cena's joining the family. I liked him as a wrestler and his commitment to service members and veterans. Plus, since you're doing the Chain special and mentioned Chain Gang, that's one of John Cena's songs he did as a rapper.
Yep.
He's pretty good. Only one album that I know of. I don't think I knew he was a rapper. Did you?
Yes, yeah. I knew he was a rapper. And also, John Cena's really dope. Did you see the article? I might have sent it to you a couple, like, weeks or months ago, where, like, John Cena has, like, completed more Make-A-Wishes than, like, anybody else in history by, like, a
lot.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Like, he does, like, a ton of Make-A-Wish for kids. So, like, he's, like, leader of all time completing Make-A-Wishes, so, like, yeah, he's a good guy, too. I've never met him or anything, but, like, you can't be a dickhole in doing, like, 500 Make-A-Wishes or something, right? Like,
well, John Cena, we're coming for you. When this podcast gets big enough that kids start Make-A-Wishing us, 100% completion rate.
Exactly. Exactly. If they wanna come and
see that would be the saddest Make-A-Wish. Oh, boy.
God, it'll be so boring for them. Poor kids.
Nick says, since Tool Time Man, Tim Allen's real name is Tim Dick.
Yes, I knew this, because I just looked it up, because he got busted for cocaine. Remember, we were talking about this?
I was reading his one book, didn't mention the coke problem, but maybe another reason besides Hollywood to change his name. Either way, big Tim Allen fan, is a huge car fan, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a big car fan.
He says, back to Fast and Furious, I've been playing the new game, actually pretty fun.
The phone game, I'm guessing?
And I have many podcasts I listen to. I actually started listening to Cage Club today, fan of Nick, too.
Oh, very cool. Awesome. You got a little crossover fan.
Who doesn't love Nick Cage? Of course. Thank you for listening to that, Nick. I also saw that Nick liked the Cage Club Podcast Network on Facebook, too, so
cool.
Shout out Nick over there. He says, one more thing to mention, after rewatching Too Fast, I think Suki might be bisexual. That's what we think, too.
We definitely think so. She's at least bisexual, if she's not fully gay, yeah.
Says, in the beginning, when Luda asks when she's going to pop his clutch, she says, as we all know, when you get the right set of tools.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the race, when she smashed her front end after the jump, Luda comes again and asks her to bring the car to the garage, so they fix up her front end. And she says, be careful, maybe I will. And Luda goes, yeah. Anyways, talked about two more than the third movie. Well, I think the dad was wrong. Damn. Even though he should have... Oh, wait, no, I'm right. That's good for me, right?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm on team dad is wrong, right? Okay. Whew.
Okay.
I'm just so used to losing this argument that I two in a row on my side. He says, even though I should have known, being in the military, we'll keep up the awesome job, Nick.
Well, we'll keep doing it. And thank you for writing in. I'm glad you never got carjacked. I like your stories. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Cage Club. Again, like, you know, we were saying that if you have caught up on these, Joe and I have, like, 60 more podcasts you can listen to, but I've got another, like, 450 podcasts you can listen to or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, Cage and Keanu and Shia and Cinemakers, which is, like, all the different directors, and just poke around cageclub.me. If you listen to the episode 1000, which is, you know, 3 hours long, you can sort of get a sense of all the shows.
That was a really good, like, hors d'oeuvre set, right?
That was the point. I didn't realize that was the point when I made it. I just sort of want to do, like, a, hey, what do you think is coming next or whatever. But then as I did it, I was like, oh... This is actually going to... A teaser taster.
It was a teaser taster, because, like, all of us, as you would hear, like, that's what we sound like, so...
Yep.
That's what we are, that's our personalities. It was very real, and we'd been drinking, so, like, it was very maximized. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, last email from Wes. Four Fast, Four Furious, Turbo Bandoleros Prelude. What up, fam?
What's up, Wes?
Hopefully this makes it to you before you record Los Bandoleros, but if not, I'll keep it for the Fast and Furious episode.
No, it did. Here you are.
Yep.
Here we
are. He says,
are.
Dan was a fun guest, and he had a lot of good commentary on Tokyo Drift. I hope he's not too disappointed with F8 when he eventually watches it, but like I've always said, even a bad Fast and Furious movie is better than most other movies.
That's exactly what Joey says, and we agree with you. I agree with you, at least, too.
Wes says, sorry for the painfully long mailbag last week. I'll be more careful with what I send to the podcast from now on.
Well, you just started a burger riot here, Wes.
I know.
Like, it was a...
It's burger time.
You know, it's like burger that NES time game. Now,
burger
man.
Time.
Yeah, we're going to have this through line.
Since you guys watched Tokyo Drift, you know I had a lot of thoughts on it this time, but at least this week, it's mostly Fast and Furious related.
Okay.
Here are my new episode observations.
Go for it.
Excellent work on the stickers. I already emailed Joey about them, but they turned out great. Good job, Joe. You really killed it in the, quote, telling Joey what to do department.
Thank you. I thought that it was exactly what I had imagined in my head when we first started this, so I'm glad that they came out good. And Joey obviously did all the work and accomplished it.
Regarding my burger email, you're 100% right. I got about 30 minutes into the episode of my drive to work and sent that before listening to the rest. Also, I like that you described my thing with not wanting to eat as my heel turn. I'm ready for my second act on this podcast.
He's soylent over here. Fuck.
Joe, I agree with needing to have different tiers for ranking things. My suggestions were definitely a different tier than In-N-Out or Whataburger, but my argument was just that there are better local fast food burgers than either place here, and I'm sure that's true of most cities.
Very true. I agree.
My favorite big chain fast food burger is probably White Castle, which I learned recently, I think, is like regional to the Northeast, maybe?
Yeah, it's like Detroit, some of New York.
It's here, too. I know it's here, because
there's
one 10 minutes from me, yeah.
White Castle is like, I think White Castle is low tier for me, so.
It's a different thing altogether. I love it for what it is, but when I think... Like, I don't think I want a burger, I'm gonna get White Castle.
Same,
I think
same,
I'm gonna get
exactly.
White Castle.
Sometimes I'm like, I want White Castle. And White Castle's a different thing. I fed Rachel White Castle one time, and she was just, like, not about it. But there's, like, that one in New York City. Do you know what I'm talking about?
There's two places in New Jersey called White Manna. One with two N's in Manna, one with one M, with one N, M-A-N-A or M-A-N-N-A. Two different places, two different owners. That
Weird.
Both do the White Castle thing. It's the steamed burger, onions on top, cheese, all that sort of stuff. So that's like, I think possibly happened before White Castle, or it's like around the same time. Like it's this like very old thing.
There's a big steamed cheeseburger wave in Connecticut too that like Matt tried to put me on one time, and I was just like, stop. And just like I ate one and I was like, I see that this is a steamed cheeseburger and that's where this ends. Like I was done with it.
He says, but we don't have them here, that White Castle,
yeah.
So we only get to eat it when we visit friends back east. He says, don't come at me with the frozen White Castle burgers in the grocery store either.
It's not the same
They're
thing.
They're garbage compared to the real thing.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree too.
Joey, I had no idea there were Torchy's with drive-thrus. I've only been to like three of their locations, though. Torchy's usually take so long in the store that I can't imagine sitting in the drive-thru for it. Agreed, agreed, agreed.
Yes.
I thought I had talked to you guys about my Rock Band guitars and love of the series.
I thought you
I know
did
we,
too.
We talked about Rock Band, but I don't remember hearing about the painted guitars.
I think I did. I remember it. I vaguely remember it.
Well, we have officially hit the 150 email mark in my inbox. In this inbox, the family at cageclub.me inbox. So there's
awesome.
Probably a lot of things that I don't remember. So
true.
Apologies.
Yeah.
He says, but if not, I posted some pictures on my Instagram a while back. Here's my first one and my second one. So I'm going to put these links in here, Joe. They're both purpley, which I think is
oh,
very
like
cool.
Very
the second
Prince.
One's, the second
is
one's very,
very
cool. It has a step-by-step on how to do it, which is very cool.
That is very cool. I like how Prince it is. It looks very Prince to me. So
yep.
That's the first
mm-hmm.
one. Yeah, the purple one looks very, very Purple Rain.
He says, we used to play a lot, but now it's just an occasional party game for us. I'm not big on karaoke, but I love playing Rock Band. Any instrument or singing, it doesn't matter. Me too. I don't like karaoke,
Rachel
but I like
loves
this.
It. I have a whole set in my basement that was Zach's that she and Zach wanted to play. I was never a big Rock Bander, so I just never got into it. I don't know why.
I can't sing, but I can Rock Band sing. Like, I can sort of break the system and
yeah,
I can sing
yeah, yeah.
well like that. I also don't really play Rock Band by myself much, but every maybe three or four times a year, Chris Podcast, who's on our Tokyo Drift episode a couple laps ago, he and some friends get together, they invite me over, we play Rock Band for like 8 hours. And I've told you about that, and you said that sounds
yeah.
like hell, but it's fun.
No, I mean, do whatever you like makes you happy, right? But like for me personally, I'd be like, oh God, I have
I get
to listen
it.
To these fuckers play Rock Band for 8 hours. I'm not the person to invite, is what I'm saying.
Wes says, now on to actual Fast and Furious related content. I forgot to send in my first thoughts or memories from the series. I'll do the first three here. and leave the rest for later episodes. This was the, what's the first time you think
of it? Yeah, what's the first thing you think of? Yeah.
The first movie is either this shiny green and gold metallic cover of the DVD that I've had since it came out in 2001.
Ooh, that's a good point, yeah.
Okay. Or the fight between Brian and Vince outside the market. No one likes the tuna asshole.
Exactly.
He says the moment when the song Watch Your Back by Benny Cassette kicks in just as Vince pushes Brian, that always sticks in my mind for some reason. The song is the worst example of early 2000s rap rock, and I love it.
Yeah. Watch your back. That's actually the minute. We're one minute before that minute.
That'll either be minute six or seven.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so.
But we're doing minute five a little bit later, so stay tuned for that. He says, for 2F2F, it's probably Roman driving and doing his weird, wiggling middle finger, which, yeah, that sort of the spinning.
The swirly middle finger? Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, I can see it perfectly.
He says, for Tokyo Drift, it's the one specific shot of Han after he gives Sean his car to drift at that first race. Everyone crowds onto the elevators to go up to the top of the parking structure. Then after it's cleared out, Han steps onto an empty elevator and pops a chip into his mouth like he could not give a shit about what's going on, which
he doesn't.
I think is
yeah.
exactly a summation. Like, he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't. He wanted to fuck the system up. He just wanted mm-hmm. chaos. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. great. I agree.
He is the Joker of this universe.
Yes, he is.
Listening to you guys wonder why the chain wasn't in Tokyo Drift, maybe think about how watching this movie after knowing what happens in the rest of the movies is simultaneously interesting and frustrating. Because they had no idea where Han's character was going to go.
They didn't, yeah.
You have to retroactively make his decisions in this movie fit his character arc from the later movies. I'm positive fans of the series have put way more thought into his actions than anyone involved in this movie did at the time.
True.
In my head, Han's still grieving, but he hides it well. That's why, even though he surrounds himself with people, he's always a little aloof and disconnected. He sees Sean as a kindred spirit in need of a little guidance, which is why they connect so quickly. The scene with him doing donuts around the women and getting their number is more of a demonstration of what his philosophy can do.
Ah.
Sean asks, if you don't drift to win, what do you drift for? He drifts for the allure and intrigue. He's not really interested in those women, and I think he knows Sean isn't either. It's just a performance.
Fair. That's a really good take on it. Han does seem kind of aloof. Like, he's, like, with a lot of girls, and he, like, is with them, and they like him, but he doesn't seem like he's interested in any of them, right? Like, in this movie. So it does fit the, like, kind of grieving. He wants to have pretty girls around, but he's not, like, trying to date any of them or anything, so.
Maybe, you know, I'm glad that he comes back because he's awesome and I want to have him back in the movies, but, yeah. like, if he was only in this one, he could be one of those characters that were like, oh, maybe he's gay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but he's not.
Once the backstory is fleshed in and we know that he's with Giselle, we know that's not true, but it does feel a little bit like...
It does.
When you're watching this movie without knowing what's coming, it's a little strange, I guess, that he's not actively partaking in a lot of the debauchery. He's sort of, like, kind of overseeing it a little bit.
Yeah, it just happens around him. He, like, wants to be in it, but he doesn't want to be involved in it.
By the way, the chain wasn't even a plot device when this movie was made, so it wouldn't have made sense to include it at this point, but it will all make sense how Sean ended up with it later on.
So he knows? Okay.
No, because Jason Statham had it, didn't he? And he, like, threw it in the car or whatever? He saw it? I don't remember. We'll find out.
I don't remember.
Speaking of timeline issues, I actually had two tabs open on my computer about the timeline before listening to this episode. One is the timeline page from the wiki, and the other is a thread from the wiki, with a couple of users arguing about issues assigning the timelines of specific movies. It's tough, because there are a couple other things that really establish a timeline for any of the movies, like Letty's tombstone saying she died May 30th, 2009,
yes.
and a few things that hint at the passage of time, like pregnancies and the age of babies, but none of those things really agree, and it's mostly guesswork anyway.
Yeah.
Best guess, I'd say Tokyo Drift is at least 2 years after Fast and Furious 6 because of Jack's age. He's not even one at the end of 6, but in the beginning of Furious 7, he's at least 2 or 3. Some dialogue about Deckard Shaw puts Furious 7, and therefore Tokyo Drift, in 2014. But if you look at Dom's kid's age, this all falls apart because Elena would have been pregnant at the end of 6, around 2011.
Yeah.
Somehow only had a 6-month to 1-year-old in the Fate of the Furious at least 3 years later. I did a quick calculation and Dom's son would have had to be at least 9 months old during Furious 7. I always assumed Elena was pregnant when Deckard attacks the DSS headquarters, but it's possible baby Brian was already born. They never mentioned it, but they also never specifically said she didn't have a kid, so who knows? Basically, who knows? The Fast and Furious universe operates under comic book time, which is fine by me.
Fine by me, too.
I also think that, and I think we've sort of said this, I don't know if we said it explicitly or just sort of hinted at it, but I think with each movie, things become a little bit more clear. But I don't think at any point in these early movies, they really knew how big things were going to get.
No.
And so
no
I think that they
idea.
Weren't necessarily concerned with things lining up as much as they were just telling a story.
Yep, I agree. They didn't really know where it was going to go.
Joey, I'm glad you got someone else on your side for the Sean's dad debate, and now I got another one, baby. We got three. Even if his reasoning was different and more logical than yours. Shut up, Wes. Enough with the heel turn. I know he's just quoting you, but still, enough. Love you, Wes. Just kidding. I think Dan's reasoning points more towards Sean's dad being forgetful and kind of a mess, which tracks with the rest of his character, not just a totally uninterested asshole, in parentheses, borderline sociopath, which is what you were proposing.
Yes.
I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree. Maybe that should be a new segment on the podcast, all the disagreements that have been unearthed. Well, we've got GIF versus GIF. We've got Whataburger versus In-N-Out. We've got Sean's dad versus Sean's mom. I think those are the only three so far.
No knees to knees.
Well, that's like, not really a disagreement. I mean, we just don't have a consensus.
Yeah, that's true.
He says, that's it for this week. I'll include a car picture next time for the F4 episode. Until next time, stay furious. Well, thank you, Wes, and Wells, and Nick, and Ben, for writing in.
Thank you.
Email family at cageclub.me.
We'll read
it. If you haven't sent in your rankings, do that. If you want to share with us the thing you think of first when you think of a movie, send that in. If you just want to say hi, if you want to ask questions, we're here, family at cageclub.me.
Yes.
Before we talk about Los Bandoleros, time for the Fast and Furious Minute. So now the big change before we get to the new minute is that if you are a patron on Patreon,
yes,
and you have access to the Fast and Furious Minute document, you will see that we have completely redone it. It actually looks
Beautiful
now.
To be honest, yeah, Joey came up with a great idea on how to like organize it. It's minute by minute, and then it's broken down into different, you know, you've got plot, clothing, dialogue, cars, signs, music, and there's like, we put lots of links in there.
And also, I formatted it so that if you open up outline mode, you can jump to any part, any subhead very easily with a single click. So keep that in mind too.
I agree.
We also named each minute. And I don't know if these
Joey named them.
So we're going to sort of go, for right now, minute one, our journey begins. I think that's kind of a simple, then maybe we'll change that. But our journey begins. Minute two, this was something that, based on what something you said, family meerkat style, because they're all meerkatting out of the top of the cars.
Yeah, true.
Minute three, the first heist.
Yeah.
Minute four, quote, everyone meet Brian, which is not from this movie, but it's when we meet Brian. And also, remember at the end of eight, when Dom's holding baby Brian,
everyone
says, everyone, meet Brian.
Yeah.
And then minute five, the one we're going to talk about tonight, I'll have the tuna, no crust.
It's perfect. It's a great title. That was a good one. We hit the room, me and my crew, and it was cool until we bumped into you. Now it's been years, but there you were like a Mustang. Redlining every single gear with a man and dance like he was born in 49, but lost his groove back in ancient times. I want to know what those replacement hips. Is that a Swatch watch? Do you know what time it is? Cause you run deep enough.
Tuna on white, no crust, right?
I don't know. How is it?
Every day for the last 3 weeks, you've been coming in here and you've been asking me how the tuna is. Now, it was crappy yesterday, it was crappy the day before, and guess what? Hasn't changed.
I'll have the tuna.
No crust?
No crust.
So this is another, for the, I want to say, second one in a row, kind of a perfect minute.
This is a great minute. I do think maybe four was, like, more perfect. But five is great, because we get, what do we get? We get Mia.
We get Mia, but we have Brian leaving from his test driving.
Another shot of LA.
Mm-hmm. See, for the first time, Toretto's Marketing Cafe. We see inside the Marketing Cafe. We have the whole tuna conversation.
Yes.
Mia turns to walk away to make the sandwich. Minute ends. Like, it's a perfect look at the beginning of their relationship. It also, considering what we're going to talk about on Los Bandoleros at the end of this episode, I think seeing the love here, even if it's not love yet, and then at the end of Bandoleros, again, not getting ahead of ourselves, but seeing the love between Dom and Letty, I think the two together sort of fit really well in this episode.
Yes. I think that they matched really, really well. I agree. Picked up two new stickers on Brian's car. He has a G-Ready sticker and an Axis sticker that I couldn't see before, but in the, you know, from a different angle and a different profile, I saw those. Then, oh, so he puts the car away. He picks up the Racer's Edge truck, which I can't read the side of it.
We'll see it later, I think. There's,
I
it
think
says
we're
something
see
basically
it.
Racer's Edge, like I think probably the high address
performance,
and phone number.
I think it's high performance parts, because that's the thing, and then there's a phone number. But like, I didn't get any of those yet. I just know that it says Racer's Edge. Like, because like, the tagline on the Racer's Edge building is high performance parts underneath it. And that's a 1999 Ford F-150 SVT Lightning. spread.
Mm-hmm.
As Brian pulls around the corner, he passes a 1978 Buick Skylark with the license plate 100VYI.
And I added in here, I'm going to take out here, but every time I see Buick Skylark, I think of only one thing and one thing only. I think of Mona Lisa Vito in My Cousin Vinny talking about the Buick Skylark.
Yes.
The 64 Skylark had a regular differential, which anyone who's been stuck in the mud in Alabama knows. You step on the gas, one tire spins, the other tire does nothing.
And so just whenever I hear Buick Skylark, I just think of that scene.
I wonder if it's a 78 Buick Skylark and that was a little nod to My Cousin Vinny.
Maybe? I don't know. We're thinking it's just, you know,
it was mint green or something. Wasn't that part of the thing?
Yep, mint green. This was just a dirty brown, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so, so maybe not. My love for My Cousin Vinny.
Before we get to the signs and stuff, the music continues. It's still a song Deep Enough by Live, or by Live, I'm not sure. But it's a song with the guitars that... Wow, wow.
You're deep enough. This song, yeah.
We also have... I made a new thing for clothing. We got a lot of black in this. We got Brian in a black t-shirt, a plain black t-shirt, black jeans. We got me in a black tank top and black jeans frayed at the top. So already from the beginning, they're matching.
Me.
They're meant to be together.
Me. They're matching me.
They're also you.
Yes.
And then the dialogue, of course. You wanna pull a little view of my lifespan and act this out with me?
Yeah, sure.
You wanna be Mia? You wanna be Brian? Actually, I guess I'm Mia. I have to be Mia because I'm Mia and you're Brian. Like we already.
That's fine.
Tuna on white, no crust, right?
I don't know. How is it?
Every day for the last 3 weeks, you've been coming in here and you've been asking me how the tuna is. Now it was crappy yesterday. It was crappy the day before, and guess what? Hasn't changed.
I'll have the tuna.
No crust.
No crust.
Turn. End of minute.
Scene. Did you do the face wipe over yourself as you did it, too?
Of course.
End scene. And you just jot down.
This is what I was looking forward to, that this
what?
Was the sort of the mecca. You inside Toretto's Cafe, you know, pick... So what did you see?
I tried to pick up as much as I could in this minute. You've given me new high-resolution minutes, so mm-hmm. I can pick up a lot more. On the counter, animal crackers and cookies on Brian's side. I didn't put this in the document yet. And I think the cookies are oatmeal raisin. And I think next to Mia, we got sugar cookies in the container. I'm just saying, I remembered it. We got a drink cooler. There's a Coca-Cola sign on the drink cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Above that drink cooler, there's a Snyder's box. It's like Snyder's of
Hanover. The pretzels?
Yeah,
okay.
The pretzels. They have like a box that are stored up there.
Okay.
There's a fuck ton of toilet paper on the one shelf. I don't know if you noticed it, but like the whole left top shelf up there is all toilet paper. Like
okay.
All of it. They got like one of those swirly sunglass buying things.
Sure.
That, like
okay.
You don't really see anymore, but existed then. On the shelf, you have Cafe La Lave. I don't know how to say this.
Probably La Llave.
Cafe La Llave.
La Llave, because I think the double L is like a Y, so like La Llave.
La Llave, which is espresso coffee, linked in the thing. And we got our first shot of Chupa Chups on the counter here.
Chupa Chups.
Chupa Chups.
I was a little, you know, I don't want to throw shade.
Go ahead.
I was a little disappointed in you.
What didn't I catch?
There was something massive that you missed.
Oh, I think I might know what it is. Did I miss the Modelo sign on outside of Andom's?
No, you missed the menu. They have a menu
what?
On the wall. I got the menu. The menu's here. I got
what?
It.
What? You got it? I saw it, but I couldn't read it.
Oh, that's why I downloaded the 4K version.
Okay. Good. Okay. So what's on the menu? Read it to me, bro.
So it's difficult because the numbers is very small. Like I had to
it's handwritten. Yeah, I get it. I didn't know that you could read it. Okay.
I don't
cool.
think it's handwritten. I think it's the like those like pizzeria signs where it's like the white with like the lines. You have like the little red letters that sort of fit into the lines.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That might
be
a very specific New Jersey
like the
thing.
Old
but...
school. Like the old school. You like pin the letters up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of a Spanglish kind of board. And this, I'm pretty confident in the actual, what they're selling, but the prices I'm not sure of. So we got Cafe Chocolat. I guess
mocha?
Maybe chocolate milk or cocoa or something.
Yeah.
$2.20 for a
yeah.
small, unknown for a big. It's too blurry to read.
Okay.
They've got hot tea, which I think $1.60 for a small, $2 for a large.
These are kind of high
milk,
prices.
Milk.
At the
time. $1 for a small, $1.50 for a large.
Okay.
Coke, Diet, 7-Up. Coke, comma, diet, comma, 7-Up, which was the hardest one for me to read. $1 for a small, $1.50 for a large. They got three different kinds, it looks like, of fresh juice. I can't tell what the juices are. Too small to read.
I'm just going to guess orange, grape, and cran.
I was going to guess apple, orange, and, like, probably grape.
Apple, orange, yeah. Apple, orange, and cran. Yeah, that makes sense.
Expensive. $2.50 for a small, $3.50 for a large.
It's expensive-ass juice.
Then there's a little bit of a break in the menu. Then they have a cafe brownie. So maybe, like, I think these are the desserts. So they've got a brownie. $1.25. They've got flan, $1.50, and they've got bread pudding, $1.50.
This doesn't make any sense. This pricing's all jacked. Hot chocolate, $2.20 for a small, but flan's $1.50. It's supposed to be a baller-ass hot chocolate.
I guess so. I mean, who knows? I mean,
it must be Ghirardelli, right? Or something?
Whew.
Yeah, I guess. No, I totally missed it. Wow, you did
great. You know, I was looking, I was like, yo, you don't have it. I had to look, and I had to super zoom in, and I had to, you know,
yeah.
I was trying to do everything I could to get the most accurate minute possible. So in the Fast and Furious Minute document, which is available on our Patreon, you can find out all the pricing, all the signs, all the stickers. Next minute, we're going to meet probably Dom. We're going to probably meet Vince.
Yes.
Brian's going to eat that sandwich.
Yeah.
Come back next episode for minute 6.
Damn, dude, this document's going to be so aggressive.
It's ridiculous how in-depth this is.
It's pretty, yeah. If you ever want to know anything about, and think, on a long enough timeline, we'll have one of these for every movie. So
yeah.
So scary.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I like it.
All right. So now, time to talk Los Pandoleros.
Yes, Los Pantalones.
So it's 20 minutes long.
It's 17 minutes, really. It's not.
It's 17 minutes.
Yeah, it's not 20 minutes. It's 17, and then like credits are like 3.
Written and directed by Vin Diesel.
Which is cool.
It's also co-written by a guy who's basically done nothing else. Or he's been like a producer on some things. I think he's just maybe one of Vin's friends. I don't know. I'm going to have a real hot take here.
Go ahead.
This might be, I don't think it's my number one, because I just don't think there's enough here. This might be, though, my favorite Letty.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
Letty
in
this, like, the fact that we had not done this before is sort of a disservice.
We close a lot of circles here, right? Don't we?
We do. We sure do. So two things here. Number one, the fact that we've never done this before, I feel like, is sort of, not, like, this is not essential. Like, this is not
something not
we need to see.
No.
What's weird about this is that it came on the special edition DVD with Fast and Furious 4. I guess it was maybe, my guess, and I don't know, I couldn't find this online. You know, 4 opens with that heist. Han's there. He's like, I might go to Tokyo, whatever. We know he doesn't go to Tokyo because we're up wherever else, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if this was, like, supposed to be part of Fast and Furious 4, and it got cut out, or Vin wanted it separately. He's like,
I think he just wanted to, like, kind of write and direct his own little piece of it. Maybe this was, like, a trial for him getting more creative control or something.
Very possible. This also might be around the time where he becomes a producer, you know what I mean? And
yep.
Sort of has the more
yeah.
control, like you're saying. Considering how little, and we've said this a lot, Letty is in the movies, considering how important she is, but how little she's actually in the movies.
Yes.
This is huge, I think, for her character. And I was actually...
Why?
I was making a note. I just think that, like, literally in terms of time on screen, she's not as much as she should. There's also an entire movie where she's not good, and there's an entire movie where Dom is not with her.
Yes.
And I feel like there's not, for as important as their relationship is to these movies, we don't have a ton of Dom and Letty time. And I was
That's
writing
true.
While this was going on, and Dom's in the club, and I don't want to jump ahead, but you know, he's got his arms around two women, and I wrote down, where's Letty, and then she appeared at that moment.
Exactly
and
then,
I
yeah.
kind of lost my
right
mind.
Then.
I kind of
yeah.
lost my mind. I just love the two of them here, and we'll talk about that, but I think, for a lot of different reasons, I mean, it's, again, very small, 17-minute thing, she's probably only in like 4 or 5 minutes of it. I love this Letty. I also think, Cassie, if you've not seen this, knowing how much Cassie loves Letty.
I think Cassie wrote in the last email that she loved
might have.
It. She said it was like one of her favorite things because she loved the relationship of Dom and Letty in it. I think she did.
Also, I didn't say it before, but shout out Cassie Wilson, shout out Jake Freer and Ben Milliman for being our patrons at the $5 tier and above. Shout out. Thank you for supporting us.
Obviously,
it's part of the,
yes.
It's part of the perks. Joe, what are your initial thoughts about Los Pandoleros? Did you...
So the first thing I thought...
You're sort of messaging me your kind of live reactions as you were watching this, and you sort of took a roller coaster of emotions.
No, I really like it. It's definitely not essential. I really like it. And when I first started watching it, I was like, is this Vin's, like, social commentary? Because this has, like, a more social commentary kind of feel. The Fast and Furious are just fun, right? Like, they never, like, say anything. But in this one, we see that they're, like, trying to steal the gas to, like, help the Dominican. And, like, if gas prices are high, they can't get milk and they can't get... You know what I mean? Like, they're Robin Hooding this. You know, we always kind of knew that they were doing, but we've never seen it to this extent before. I was hung up on, like, the social commentary thing at the beginning and was thinking about how that plays out. The Santos, right? Because they have different names in this one.
So there's Santos, who's Leo Santos, I think. And then
yes.
there's...
No, there's
Tego,
Leo and Santos.
Tego and Santos, who also Dom calls Santo, singular.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, he hands Dom a beer, and I was like, no, don't drink that. They're all poisoned. And then I was like, oh, no, this isn't now.
Not a Corona. Also, he
Presidente.
Opens it with his teeth.
He does. He does. And then they give this, like, this weird line. Dom, and I do love that the premise of this, they're trying to Robin Hood for this situation, but it comes down to, like, Dom says... without gasoline, we can't live. And, like, it was so Fast and Furious about it, right? Like,
he says you can't move forward without fuel, and no one wants to be left behind.
Exactly. And you're just like, oh, God, like... It's true, right? Like, I do think gasoline plays a huge role in, like, our global economy and, like, everything like that. But, like, for them to just be, like, so lusty of gasoline just, like, fits the build, right? Like, and it almost took me out of the movie for a second because I was like, oh, God, they're just romanticizing gasoline just, like, a little bit too much for me. Like, it's just, they're overacting it just a hair.
But I also do wonder if in the Dominican Republic, if it's, you know, it might not be overacting. Like, I think maybe it's actually, like, the story they're telling might be a very Fast and Furious story, but it also, if it's true to life, I don't think they are overacting. Like,
I agree. That's
given that, like, the, you know, that Santo's mother or his aunt is cooking in, like, the, you know, the scorching heat, and she doesn't really have, I guess, the fuel or whatever to cool herself down. You know, they can't go anywhere, and there's, like, you know, fat cats getting rich. It's kind of, in a way, just like Donald Glover's video from earlier this year, it's like kind of like Guava Island, right? Where it's like,
I agree.
Yep. The fat cat's getting rich, and, you know, Donald Glover, or in this case, Dominic Toretto.
And historically, the islands have been fucked forever from the jump. So, yeah. And it is probably true, but just like...
It definitely feels convenient for the kind of story.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
The kind of characters that we are, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, like, this is why I was like, it's a little bit too on the nose, right? Like, they're, like, trying to steal... they need gasoline to live. Like, come on, man. Like, it's Fast and Furious. Like, we get it. So that's why I was like, it almost took me out of it.
Given how racing-centric these movies are, there's driving in this, like, Dom and Letty go for a ride, but there's not really racing. Action, right? Like, it's a lot of, like, and I feel like that's where it maybe falls a little short. And I know that you probably don't have a ton of money for this, and, you know, you have a lot of the characters and a lot of the actors, and you're paying them and everything, but, like, I would have liked a little bit of something, or even, like, just the beginning, like, maybe instead of ending, which I really do like the ending of, you know, him with Letty...
Yes.
Maybe it ends with them, like, planning to go get that boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't shoot the action scene. You see, like, the boat taking off. You see cars, like, coming down or whatever. You know, however they're going to take it.
Yeah, just one quick, like, at the end. Like, just, car. Yeah, I agree.
And maybe, I mean, I don't know, because this is supposed to also set up, and maybe it ties into... Because the beginning of 4 is the guy with the iguana, right? And so maybe this is...
And they're stealing gas. That's the whole point.
Maybe that's a continuation of this? Like, maybe it's after they get there. Maybe they track it and they're stealing it. I don't know.
I don't know either. So some interesting things later that we see. First thing I noticed is that Han says he's from the States. Because we never really knew, like, where Han was from.
And he says he's never been east of somewhere. What does he say?
Yeah, he said he's never been to, like, any of the Asian countries. Like, because they're calling him Chinese the whole movie,
Chinese one, House Japan, House China, and he's like, I've never been there.
No, but everybody calls him Chinese, the Chinese guy's looking at me weird, all this stuff. And then, yeah, he says he's never been to China, and she's like, well, are you from Japan? He's like, never been there either. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, so we caught Han really early, and he had to come from, like, California, I guess, right? Like,
well, he says that he used to hear about Dom in the racing scene, but didn't start running with him till Mexico. So I guess he was just around. Maybe he went to Race Wars. Maybe he just was in different circles and sort of heard, like, the tale of the Godfathers, they call him in this episode.
Oh, that's right. He's the actual Godfather in this. Yeah.
And maybe he's just like, I need to meet up with this guy. And then, you know, kindred spirits, just like we were saying, why in the emails that we just read, why Han and Sean, hit it off so well, because they're kindred spirits. Like, again, Dom and Han, similar, you know. He said he knew Han, said Han was family.
But he had met Dom before this, though, right?
In Mexico, because that's why he gets called in here.
Yeah.
What I like, though, about, and I sort of, you know, I'm kind of a little all over the place, but I like that we get, obviously, the Los Bandoleros, or the Bandoleros song, but the video starts with sort of an acoustic kind of street version of it, where guys, like, clacking blocks together and singing sort of a cappella, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I thought the music throughout this was all really good.
I was like, why do I know this song? And I was like, oh, because it was Bandoleros.
I like the score from throughout. Like, this music and the score was great in this.
So we also have, and you asked me, we saw something on, like, some clickbait article about, like, the 15 Fast and Furious characters who did the most things or ranked in terms of how much they did or whatever.
It was, like, 40 best or 40 most least useless or something. It's something weird. Yeah, go ahead.
And you said, who's Kara, or Kara, C-A-R-A, I said, I think, and I only knew this because I think I had read it somewhere at one point, that she was the one in the car with Han at the beginning of 4, In this, and this I think goes back to an email that Wes sent a long time ago.
A long time ago, but I remember.
Aside from the fact that Rico and Tego are named all different things, all different places.
Yes.
Her character name here is Mirtha, because the actress's name is Mirtha, so she's not Kara, but she's also Kara. Like, it's the same actress playing both parts, name not consistent. We still don't know who she is other than just someone who Han wants to fuck.
Yeah. We're definitely pre-Giselle in this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he's into it. Like, hard. Yeah.
And that guy who's with them, and I don't know if I caught his name, but he's like, do you want me to get you guys a room? Or do you want, what do you want? Because they're just staring at each other. Like, they're basically doing stare and drive.
I thought they were, like, a couple.
Yeah.
Like, before, but, like, no. He apparently just brought Han a lady, I guess?
I guess. Because what's weird is that they pick him up, these two, the guy and Mirtha, pick him up at the airport. And it's someone that he knew Han. It didn't seem like they were super close. But then Han gets in the back seat. Like, they stare at each other, Han and Mirtha. Han gets in the back seat. And then, like, later, we see them at this, like, you know, party or whatever. And they look like they want to go at it.
Yeah, they're on the edge of glory, for sure.
And I'm hanging on a moment with you.
Exactly, yes.
We also, like, what I like about, you know, I always like ways that you can get introduced to characters, and I think this is, again, maybe because Vin wrote it or whatever, but, you know, I like that we hear Dom before we see him. Like, we see his legs, we just see a guy working on the car. What kind of car was that? Did you catch it? Was it a Chevy?
Oh, I think it was a Camaro.
I think it was a Camaro. That's like, yeah. you know, I'm in the Chevy family, as you know.
Yes,
and
you are.
I sort of have a sense of, like, kind of what some Chevys look like. It looked like a Camaro, I think.
I think so, too. I didn't write that one down. I was more hung up by this, like, Bonneville that they had at some point.
Is that the one that he's driving with Letty at the end?
Yeah, I think so.
But what I like about it is that he's working on the car. You don't see who it is. You just see legs. You see two kids just sort of hanging out near him. Then you hear Dom's voice, and so iconically, so specifically Vin, you know, Han shows up. And then Han and him already just, like, brothers, like, fighting, and, you know.
Yeah, they're already, like, boys just roasting each other.
Han says, you look like shit. And then Dom says, that means a lot coming from you. But then Han says, how come we can't stay in a hotel? And he says, oh, complaining already. And I just like that, you know, he shows up from wherever he flew in from. You know, he has a friend pick him up at the airport. And the first thing, it's just, like, busting each other. Just like, what kind of shithole is this? But, like, it's clearly, you know, this is just where he feels. This is home.
Yeah, exactly.
Then we get a family barbecue, a family dinner.
We do. We get a whole you touch the chicken first situation,
mm-hmm.
too. You know Godfather's rules.
They know Godfather's rules. Thank you, Godfather.
It was weird when he said it, like, El Señor. He didn't say, like, he didn't say God. He said, like, the big man or something when he, like, says the prayer.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I know, like, what he said in Spanish, and I was like, maybe that's a Dominican thing? I don't know. But, like, I caught it, and it caught me off guard, because he doesn't say, like, dear Lord. Like, it's translated to, like, dear God or, like, dear Lord, right? Like, mm-hmm, in the mm-hmm. subtitles. But he's just, like, señor. Like, he just, like, says, hey, guy, or mister, whatever. So I was like, this is weird. I had to, like, look deeper into that.
As we know, there's probably some kind of dialect or some kind of, you know, localisms here, because later, when they're driving and those kids pull up on the motorcycles next to Dom, they speak to them. Letty just looks at him and she goes, were you speaking Dominican?
Yeah, Dominican. Yeah, not Spanish. Were you speaking Dominican? Isn't Vin Diesel Dominican? Isn't that part of it?
I think so. Let's see here.
I think he's part Dominican. I think we've looked this up before.
We definitely have. He's American, born in Alameda County, California.
No shit. Italian and Dominican, I thought.
He expresses love for the Dominican Republic and how he relates to its multicultural facets. He never knew his father.
Okay.
His mother's white, with English, German, Scottish, and Irish ancestry. His adoptive father is African-American.
Okay.
Diesel said he said of himself that he's definitely a person of color. So I don't think, we don't know what he is. And I think that's, you know, he's able to play Italian. He's able to sort of fit in with the Hispanic culture in these movies. Because he has that sort of mentality, that love, that mindset.
I felt like he was Dominican for some reason. But
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's clear that between this and between the beginning of 8 and Cube, like, I know that he didn't actually make 8, but it feels like at the beginning of 8, maybe just a character, but he just feels, as the actor, so comfortable
in Spanish Cuba. Situations.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning of, what is it, I guess, 6? When he's in the no extradition and, you know, Hobbs comes to visit him. Like, whenever he's just casually hanging out, like, in a beautiful, like, Brazilian or, you know, some kind of, you know, lush Hispanic landscape. That seems to be where he's most at home.
Yep, that's what I was saying. That's why I felt like we get the Dominican and he shot it in the Dominican. I thought this was maybe like an excuse to trip home kind of situation. You
maybe.
Know?
We get an all-time quote from Letty.
So Letty comes up. We talked about this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Dom is sitting there with two girls. Letty comes up. She doesn't get, like, mad at him, which is, this was a dynamic of the relationship that I wanted to talk about. It seems like she kind of knows, like, when they're not together, it's okay. But, like, when she's back it's over.
Well, I think it's also the same thing we see in the first movie at the party, right? Like, he's sort of doing whatever, and she's like, we're going upstairs, you're giving me a massage right now. Just like, oh, you know, like, you can sort of have your fun, but, like, when it's our time, it's our time.
Yeah, so they're kind of in, like, an almost open relationship, it seems like.
I feel like it's don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. And so Letty pulls up, Dom has his arm around two girls. He's like, oh, shit, and pulls his arms away. But, like, not even, like, in a scared way. Like, not like, oh, shit, she's gonna, like, beat me
up. No, just like a, call
me. Like, Letty's here. You're done.
And we don't see her face when she first walks up, and then we, you know, turn around, and she just says, it ain't that hard to track you down. All I gotta do is follow the odor of skanks. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
back again
perfect.
With the skanks line.
Exactly.
And it's then Dom beautiful. Just says, Letty, life has a way of changing one's plans. Like, sorry, girl. You know, I thought maybe you weren't going to be here. Going to have a little fun, but now you're here. And new plan.
Exactly. I love it. It's a great, it's very, very nice. I like it a lot.
So she responds by saying, you hear this one? You hear, like, she says to the girls, you hear this one? Change of plans. Where do we sleep? Like, basically, I'm here. We're going to bed now. Where are we going? And it's just like,
yeah.
That's...
And,
yes, sir. Yes, yes, ma'am.
And he kisses her, and she's like, I don't want to taste their saliva. Like, she's like, I know you were just making out with these hookers. Like, that's okay. But, like, ugh, you gross boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And just, like, and just, she's cool with it. She's just fine. She just walks away.
She's wearing a necklace here, and, you know, if we're doing the chain gang, we don't know. I don't, it's probably not the necklace. She's wearing a necklace, but throughout the first movie, she's wearing dog tags. She's wearing another silver chain. Like, I don't think it's... But as far as we can tell, right, there's no sign of the necklace in this short.
No, I didn't see it. I didn't, you know, it's always in the back of my mind, but, like, I didn't see it to notice it, and if I would have, I think I would have known.
So they go back wherever, and then they go on this little road trip, I guess, through the Dominican Republic, and he's sort of, I guess, taking her to his favorite spots. And they have, you know, it's a very small aside, but one of the, I think, maybe most important, if you want to say, lines in this movie, in the short.
What?
Dom says, it's been a while. They're just talking, you know, how it's been a while, whatever. And he says, it's been a while since I've been back. Letty says, you're missed. And then pauses. And she says, she's all right. About Mia. Because, like, he hasn't seen Mia in years.
Oh, I didn't catch this. That's really
so
cool.
So she just says, she's all right. They don't move. They don't go further than that. But she says, she's all right.
Cool.
And that's it. I love that. And I saw there's, like, the one trivia on IMDb was that Paul Walker and Jordana Brewster were on the poster. There's a poster made for this. They were on the poster for this, but they're obviously not in it. I didn't get choked up that moment, but I was just like, oh, like, there's so much meaning to that. Because they were obviously so close.
Yeah.
He hasn't seen her since he, you know, ran
had
through the
cops. Had to disappear. Yeah. Okay, so one, we get Letty doing a Giselle, the sitting on his lap while he's driving. And we get this, like, very playful Dom and Letty that we never really see.
But she's doing,
really
like an amped Giselle, because she's, like, actually, she's like, oh, I'm blocking you, what are you gonna do, we're gonna crash? Like, she's, like, fucking with him, as opposed to just, like, loving him. She's like, oh, like, let's see what you're gonna do, big guy.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's so playful, and, like, we never see them be, like, not serious, so to see them be, like, lovey and, like, playful like this was really cool to me. And also, she's, like, very confident in his driving, right? So, like, even if she's sitting on his lap, she knows that, like, he's not gonna, like, wreck. And the other thing we see is we see them kayaking, and to see Vin Diesel, like, using a kayak was so weird for my brain in a Fast and the Furious movie. I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, they put him in something without a motor, right? Like, it wasn't even, like, a small, like, motorboat.
He is the motor.
He is the motor. At that point, he became the engine of the boat.
I think within the story that they're telling, it makes sense, because they can't have, like, a motorboat and, like, have a gas shortage.
I get it. No gas.
You know what I mean?
I agree, but I'm saying, but, like, seeing Vin Diesel, like, row a boat in a Fast and the Furious movie, it's just, like, poof, like, my whole brain exploded. I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? And then, like, Letty takes over, and he's just, like, lounging. And I was just like, oh, God, this is so weird.
I feel like it's this scene and then the next one where they finally park and, you know, like, they park in this thing and they go to the kayak or whatever, and then he carries her to the cove and there's all this different stuff. And, you know, she says, how can you be 3,000 miles away from that? I can't. I feel like all of this further sets up her, quote unquote, death in the fourth movie, right? Like, it's just
it does. Yeah.
He's been away from her for so long. Like, there's a history before the movie starts. Before the first one, that, like, they've been together for a while, you know, she grew
forever,
up down the street or whatever.
Essentially, yeah.
We haven't seen a lot of that, and just to see them reunited here, and then she's going to die 15, 20 minutes or whatever into
the fourth
movie.
And they had great chemistry, too. Like, this is, like, a really seriously, like, strong moment. Like, they're not even, like, faking it. It's not, like, obviously they're acting, but they have, like, very good chemistry together here.
Yeah.
And it looks like they, like, miss each other, and they're back with each other, and, like, this is a really cool moment, so.
And also, like, I don't know if you look at his Instagram videos that he puts, but, like, whenever he's with her, like, they just both seem so happy. And again, maybe it's acting, maybe it's, you know, for the promotion or whatever, but it just seems like Vin and Michelle like each other as people so much that they want to be together on screen.
Which is cool. That's then it plays well. We see it through the movies and it's awesome. I don't think that you can have good on-screen chemistry and not be like kind of into the person, right? Like you can't fake it that hard.
Yeah. I mean, there's a thing that I think it was, you know, on Game of Thrones that when Jon Snow and Ygritte, who are, you know, it's Kit Harington and Rose Leslie.
And they're actually married, right?
Yeah, because they were on the show, they were written to be, you know, partners on the show or whatever. And I guess spoilers, sort of, but whatever, season 3, it's a while ago.
Yeah.
They said, you know, it's not hard to fall in love with someone when, like, your characters are in love with each other and you're staring at someone who's beautiful. And you're both single. Like, you know, I feel like if Vin Diesel, if Michelle Rodriguez didn't have partners, if they were attracted to each other, which I think they are to some extent, and they were both single, like, I think that we would have seen something. You know what I mean? But I feel like, you know, the chemistry, TLDR, chemistry is real.
It is real. I think it would be hard to fake. That was, yeah.
And I think that's kind of all my notes. Do you have anything else to say about Los Bandoleros? I don't think I have anything. I mean, there's it's worth watching. It's for sure worth watching. Like, Turbocharged Prelude, you can watch. Like, it's 6 minutes. You don't have to. Again, you don't have to watch this, but I think it's worth watching. It's cool.
Yeah, it was really good. It fit well with the story. It's definitely better than the Brian one, I think. Yeah, I liked it. I'm glad that we, like, encompass this and are like finally like wrapping the package on all of the Fast and the Furious, right? Like, it felt good to finally watch it. I'm glad we saved it. I'm glad we watched it. And I'm glad that we've seen everything else first. Like, I think that if I would have seen it when it came out before 4, it would have been kind of like different. At this point in our, you know, tracking Fast and the Furious, it felt really nice.
You know, whenever we do an ultimately, we do a completist lap where we do like the special features and DVD
everything.
Commentary and stuff like
that.
We'll watch this again then. But like, I'm glad that it's good enough that we could talk about it for a while, that we both enjoyed it. But I'm also, in a weird way, kind of glad that it's not so good that we have to cover it every time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I feel like it'd be kind of weird. Like, if this, say this was like an awesome 17 minutes, I feel like it'd be weird. Like, do we do it with 4? Do we do a separate episode each lap? Like,
exactly.
I kind of like that it's good and not great.
It can stand
only
alone,
for the scheduling
though.
Thing. Yeah.
Exactly. I agree.
Well, next week we have Fast and Furious number 4, which is, this is a accompanying video for that. So we will kick that one off with the heist of gasoline and then say goodbye to Letty again.
Gasolina.
Gasolina. Oh, they even say gasolina in here. And it's just like, oh,
they do.
Right.
Yeah, they do.
But yeah, so any other thoughts about either the Fast and Furious minute or anything else we talked about in the last, you know, hour plus, Joe?
No. I think that was good. I think we wrapped everything up pretty nice.
For all things Too Fast, Too Forever, including all 36 or whatever other episodes of the show, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/TooFastTooForever, or at TooFastTooForever on Twitter. Email us, family@cageclub.me. Check out our Patreon page at TooFastTooForever.com. We got the stickers. They're going out. We got a Fast and Furious Minute document
shipping
up there.
Off.
You get access to that. You get early access to the first half of the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on Patreon, TooFastTooForever.com. Check it out. Again, YouTube, if you want to subscribe to us on YouTube.
Please.
Again, this is like the easiest thing we'll ever ask. Click the subscribe button and then put it out of your brain. That's all we ask. Go to cageclub.me, find the link from there, dig around YouTube to find Too Fast, Too Forever. Anyway, thank you all for, you know, writing in, for supporting the Patreon. It's so cool to have so many people who are with us, literally with us on this journey every episode.
Yeah. I agree, man.
It's great. It's exciting.
It makes our job a little bit easier, right?
Oh, sure.
Like, I feel very re-energized knowing that you guys, like, care.
We've got really exciting things coming, I think. So
I do.
Just stick with us. We will not let you down, I hope. Keep emailing. Keep listening. Keep sharing with your friends. Just thank you for being you.
Thank you for being part of the family.
Mm-hmm. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And we'll see you next week for Fast and Furious number 4, right here on Too Fast, Too Forever. Yo, tengo Calderón.